This week on RSBNB Update, we look at the graphical previews of The Land Out of Time with beautiful depth-of-field rendering and the most recent bank rework prototype. We have a conversation about the frequency of Double XP Weekend, and I delve into the dark art of dungeoneering. This is RSBNB Update, episode 731, recorded Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019, the Double XP Weekend Out of Time. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. As expected, this week, just Tannis and myself here. We're recording a little bit earlier because it is, of course, the 4th of July weekend, so happy Independence Day to all our American listeners out there.
Well, thank you, Shane. Yeah, we're going to have big parades and blow shit up, yeah?
Nice. So that's what we do. That's exactly that's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's exactly
and you
how
guys
it should
had a, you celebrated Canada Day?
Yeah, right? On the first. No huge parades. It's, you know, if you look at the coverage of what happened in Ottawa there, festivity-wise, it's filled with celebrity more than it should be, in my opinion, and it should be more grounded. But
that's like your 4th of July, though, right?
Yeah, it is. You guys, of course, do a bigger deal of it than we do, as of course you should whenever you are celebrating the birth of a country. And, you know, the American fireworks and whatnot that we see on the 4th are always astounding compared to what we have here. So,
well, that's because they let us just blow up whatever we want in our backyards.
Yeah, you have to go to specific places to set them off here. And, you know, you can't just pick them up at any corner store and whatnot, as I know you can do in the U.S., so.
I know. You just walk around your neighborhood and listen for somebody saying, "Hey, hold my beer." And then that's where you stop and watch the fireworks.
You would think that we, of course, would have fireworks this week with the RuneScape update, but no, we don't. It is patch week, if by any other name. We're actually not going to start with that this week because that's how insignificant the weekly update was. And what we're going to talk about is the content showcase live stream that we had this past Tuesday, which they revealed a lot of the upcoming content with this one, didn't they? More so than normal. It was a big one.
But only graphically.
Yeah, only graphically.
Like, you didn't see any of the actual content.
And I think there's design behind that, which is good.
Yes. No, I mean, it was the right call. Like, I was glad. I think they did a really good job with it. But yeah, I didn't think they showed off very much at all. Just how gorgeous it was.
Yeah.
And it does look really, really nice. Exactly what I thought. I mean, I thought it was going to have the same kind of, Lost Grove kind of feel to it, like with just the way they did that. And I think that's proved to be correct.
Yeah, it's a huge strong point. But it was also in this live stream and somewhat overshadowed by the Land Out of Time content was the minor update on the bank rework, in particular showing how the bank rework worked. I'll just run through a couple of these bullet points before we get back to the Land Out of Time. The tabs in the bank have been moved on to the left-hand side. And the logic before this is that it allows you to have an extra row in your bank and show more of your bank items and creates more space for more tabs. There's also a new tab customization feature allowing you to have a set of predefined names for your tabs, kind of in the same way that you name presets. And you can, of course, choose any icon that you want for these tabs, not only the icon of the item, the first item in the tab as it is now, but pretty much any skill icon. There's a GP icon for loot. There's a clue scroll item, a questing icon. So it pretty much covers all the bases on that regard. And you can now have up to 15 tabs in your bank.
I thought those little changes are cool. I mean, 15 tabs, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and people were, you know, at the first bank rework, everybody thought that, maybe infinite tabs is the way to go. But I think 15 is good. I mean, you don't need infinite.
No, I was never really on board with the whole infinite. 15, I think, is a good. I mean, that's a good spot. Just so that I can. I mean, right now I have a lot of combined tabs that I wish could be separated out. So
yeah,
that'll be.
Yeah,
that will be nice.
And don't forget, you're going to be able to filter it by equipment. So if you want to see all your head items, you can see that, all your chest items, and so on and so forth as well.
And that's really cool. I mean, because right now I have to use the search function most of the time, but it's not that good of a search, really. Like, I mean, you can spell something like the first three letters perfectly, and it still won't pull it sometimes.
Yeah.
Going, what is going on here?
So it'll be interesting to see how this works in a less controlled setting than a test account. Also, a big one with this is that you can now resize the bank window, both horizontally and vertically. Previously, you had to go into the edit game window in order to do that. But you can, if you want, have your entire game window take up the entire screen of your game.
I wonder if that would make – is that going to make the icons bigger?
No.
If I do that?
No.
Oh,
it just gives you more space to see things.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
And the reason,
I mean, it's cool,
reason for
but
that
I
is
wish,
because
I wish the icons were bigger. You
yeah.
know?
Because all the icons are sprites, so you can't just resize those dynamically.
You get some great pixelization.
Yeah, the size you see is the way that it's sent to the client. Internally, and I know this from looking at the Grand Exchange endpoints that they have that we use to pull our price data. There's a large item size and a small item size, which is the backpack and inventory size, which is something that they've maintained for years. And these are actual sprites that get sent from Jagex to your computer when you request them. So I would assume there would be other sizes in-game that they have generated, but they just don't make them available to the player. But resizing images is also a very technically it's not technically difficult. I'm looking for a specific word here. You can resize an image naively, or you can resize an image smartly, and it takes a little bit of extra processing power to do it smartly so it actually comes out looking good at the end. So that's why we don't see resizable images all that often in game.
Oh. Well, thanks for the info, the behind the scenes there with Shane.
And the simple thing is that if you have a sprite or an image, as they're called, to signify your inventory, it's just tons easier to use that, send it, and not having to worry about resize it. So that's the way that it is. Also with this, there's, of course, individual tick boxes for the backpack, worn, and beast of burden preset saving so that you can specifically toggle which one is saved on the individual preset line so you don't need to go into the preset and click the check boxes and then hit save, as it's kind of cumbersome to do that now.
That's nice too. Yeah, that change.
There really wasn't else much new that I thought I saw on this live stream for the banking rework, so I think we can leave that there unless there's anything bank related you want to talk about, anything bank rework at all you want to talk about.
I'm cautiously optimistic for the bank. I can't wait for the placeholders.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Now, of course, let's talk about what everybody actually, I do want to mention one thing first that we haven't seen before. With the bank rework showcase they did this week, they also opened it up and ran it on a tablet. Not a phone, a tablet. And the usability looks pretty good. And thinking about it, you know, RuneScape on a tablet, that's going to be very appealing to many of us, I think, after seeing this.
I think that's primarily what mobile is going to be, like what the mobile players are going to be playing on. I mean, that's what I figured I would play on. I mean, I would probably need to, but I just thought that would be a better, just a little bit bigger screen, you know, just it seemed like it'd be more conducive to RuneScape.
Yeah, and, you know, you could still play and do things like woodcutting and whatnot on your phone where you don't need as big of a display. But if you want to do something a little bit more involved, I think the tablet would be a good way to go. And I think we're going to get to an awkward situation at some point where tablets will be able to run RuneScape better than cheap laptops. I think that's
wow. Wouldn't that be? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because, I mean, how many people do you know like still play on potato computers and they call them that?
And And I mean, if you can go get a Android tablet for $300-$400, and that can be your main RuneScape device, there you go, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be a pretty fun thing going forward, and. You know, when the reason I actually got the iPhone 8 Plus, the plus size, is because I thought sometime in 2018, as I got that in the, at the tail end of 2017, I thought, oh, yeah, by summer 2018, we'll have RuneScape Mobile and it'll be fine on the 8 Plus. But here we are almost 2 years later after getting that 8 Plus device. Still no RuneScape Mobile on iOS. So
I know. It's so disappointing, too. And It's funny you say that because we just last week, well, I was like, oh, we need to get an upgrade. I was like, don't touch my 8 Plus. I ain't upgrading to nothing.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm like, don't touch it.
I'm not getting rid of that either. I believe it is the best iPhone that Apple ever made.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like, nope, I'm not upgrading nothing.
And yes, I mean, it's obviously not the best stat-wise and not the best camera-wise, but when you look at the 10-era devices, they have lots of void space at the bottom where the bezel used to be, and they just haven't really utilized that effectively. And you lose the fingerprint reader, whereas you have to go with the face on the other ones, and I don't know. I just prefer the 8 Plus. But
yeah,
we're getting into tech news with that.
So I know.
It's kind of a follow-up from last week's tech news with the departure of Johnny Ive from Apple.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
Speaking of design things, we should get into the Land Out of Time and how this thing looks.
Those designers should get a pizza party, a cookie.
They should get more than that.
Something. I don't know. I mean, whatever you do, but wow. They outdid themselves, didn't they, Shane?
Yes, they did. And caveat be warned, there was something enabled on the dev client they were using called depth of field, which makes objects look as though they were captured on film or in real life. Because when you're looking at a typical computer game, you can have things that are in the distance or maybe a bit further away that would be out of focus in real life if you were looking at them or if this was taken with a film camera or an actual camera. But in a video game render, you don't have that because you can just render everything clear as day. And what depth of field aims to do is create more perspective and provide distance on how the game world looks. And that's what was happening on this live stream when Mod Shawnee was running the demo of the Land Out of Time, is that he had depth of field enabled on his dev client just to kind of make add a little bit more, real world feel to the Land Out of Time. So just caveat that it's not going to look exactly like you saw in this live stream, but it's going to look pretty damn close to it. So,
right.
And, you know, just walking around and you see the sheer scale of this, and you heard in the Q&A last week with the art people, they really wanted to emphasize the vertical. And, you know, you can see this from all the way up at the top of the map to all the way at the bottom. And they have succeeded in that. You see water, you see skyboxes, you see fog, you see lighting. I can't wait to get my hands on this and just see how it is in a fully immersive view.
Well, and you know, and something we touched on or we talked about last week too was with the sound. And if you noticed, being able to hear the music as he was walking around, like it really went super well together. And I was reminded once again, I'm like, this is RS3.
This is
what we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that's what we keep saying, and that's what we foreshadowed last week with one of our nibbles, is that, hey, the music is definitely going to help with the branding of the Land Out of Time, and it helps with the branding of RuneScape 3 as well. And here we are. We actually see that this week. So.
Yeah.
He walked past a minefield. I mean, a minefield. A mining site. a mining site with Dracolith rocks in it. And so you can kind of see some of the skilling locations. He didn't show any of the agility, or he didn't show any of the Slayer, which was, of course, by design. The players need to discover that for themselves. And I think that's the right level of hype and anticipation on that, to coin a phrase from earlier today. So,
yeah, I mean, I kind of just want to go up there and get that beach chair animation or rest out and just watch people get dumped by these big old plants or whatever they're going to be. Just big old cactus just sticking out of their head, you know. Yeah, dude, there's some people's going to get dumped.
Yeah. I mean,
ooh, what just hit me?
Like, I was imagining this, and, you know, you get the perspective right, you get the distance right, and I could imagine some of these scenes. Like, it doesn't look RuneScape-y, but it still has the RuneScape look to it, so much so that you could put it in another game, if you know what I mean. And I was thinking, you know, this graphical quality is something you might see in ESO. Or, you know, I think it even actually looks better than the Star Trek Online ground levels, mind you.
Yeah, no, it really did. And I don't know if that accentuates some of the more antiquated stuff sometimes when I see that, because I was like, sometimes it's weird to me to see it look so good but I'm still like, you know, just clicking and waiting for it to walk over somewhere. It's weird because there's just nothing else that works like that.
The classic case will be to compare this with Yanil, and that's going to be jarring. And I have to ask, you know, how are new players going to feel about that? So.
Yeah. Be a good question.
Now, also with the Land Out of Time, they did something that was groundbreaking for this one. As well, they ran the Land Out of Time on their tablet in this content showcase.
Yeah.
And did you see how smooth the graphics were?
Yeah, I thought, that would make agility a little less annoying, maybe. Like, could you imagine, like, because you could just, like, kind of look down and you could be in your recliner and just look down and tap on, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, yeah, okay. I'm feeling what you're putting down. Yeah.
And for those of you guys watching on the video version of the show on YouTube, you'll be seeing this right now, but what we're seeing is just, and you know, this is definitely more than 30 FPS that I'm seeing. Or it could be artificial smoothing done by their streaming. But even moving the camera, it's so darn smooth. I am actually wondering what tablet they were using to pull this off. I'm not entirely sure what it was.
It definitely did look smooth. And you might be onto something when you say that, like, RuneScape might run best on a tablet in the future. Like,
well, unless you have, you know, a gaming kind of PC, or if you just want the cheap way of running it, right?
Right, but I mean, I'm going to venture to say there are no or very few hardcore, I went out and built a top-of-the-line machine so that I could play RuneScape on it. Like, I just don't think there's that many.
I might be saying that in about a year or so.
To run RuneScape.
Well, to run it and do, you know, the video production side of the show at the same
time.
Right,
and I mean, I get that. I don't know. Even when in NXT, I don't feel like RuneScape is, like, extremely hard to, like, run.
Oh, no. I mean, you can run it on a 1050 or a 1060 with no problem whatsoever. You get max FPS.
Yeah.
And even if you went a generation old, you'd still be able to run it on, you know, a couple generations old at this point, a 960. So, and, you know, I think this is what most of us are going to be taking in next week when the Land Out of Time arrives. And yes, that was confirmed that the launch date is indeed July 8th.
I'm so happy that it's next week and not the week after.
Yeah, me too. And just as long as, you know, we don't need to come back and do an addendum to the show after as we did for the Metaverse episode.
Yeah. Well, that's happened before in the summertime.
Yeah, it has. So that's the content showcase, and Land Out of Time looks great. The mobile stuff also that was showcased somewhat covertly in this showcase also looks great because, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, why would you show Land Out of Time and the bank on a tablet as well as the main screen? So I think that might be a little bit of hidden messaging there that we might be close to seeing the cap on the Android beta come off at some point this summer. That would be my guess.
That'd be great. And then we just need the iOS version.
Yeah, and we talked about how that's what the case is with that. So,
right.
All right. Yeah. Land Out of Time aside, we did get another surprise this week, but perhaps we shouldn't have been too surprised. Double XP weekend.
A little bit with the timing.
Coming July 26th.
Yep. Are you ready, Shane?
No, I'm not. I don't even know what
did
I'm
you make
do
a killing
this time. For what?
I don't know. Did you just have? I mean, you always got herbs. I didn't know if you made a killing off of it.
Yeah, I still do have about 500 toad flax or so, and I have something like 1,800 nests stockpiled that I don't need to use. So, I mean, I guess we could
change that. I mean,
yeah, a little bit. So, you know, the usual three-day affair on this, non-members get a 20% XP boost. So this does confirm the three double XP weekends a year.
It does.
February, yes. Summer, and October.
Yep. It does.
Or maybe even September in this case.
Yes, last year I think it was September.
And
right before the fire.
Right, and it was for May as well, so... I don't know. Or do you think we're just reading too much into this? Do you think it will be three again this year? Or do you think this is it?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it'll be three for sure. As soon as I saw the update, I was like, cue the there's too much XP debate. I'm like, here it comes. And I was fully waiting for it.
Well, I think there is.
I think that it's fine. I think it's fine.
Okay.
Because, well, for several reasons, but look, what's the grindiest game you can possibly think of, right? I mean,
RuneCrafting prior to Soul Runes, or
right? But what's one of the like biggest complaints about all these like free to play games? Well, you go grind forever. So obviously, like, people's not into that same kind of grind that they were in 2006, right? That's not where people are anymore. That's not where gamers are anymore. That's not like, it's just not the same. And I've always been one to say that your accomplishment, what you do, in no way takes away from anything that I've done.
That makes
or
sense.
How I've done it.
Yeah.
You
and,
know, like,
and you see, that's why we've, for the longest time, ran the skill of the month as we did, is because it's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where the XP comes in. The reasons we changed skill of the month wasn't because of XP. It was just because, you know, at this point, like you said, it's the grind. We need to compress that down a bit.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's just things have changed. Things change. it's okay for things to change sometimes.
My concern, though, with the double XP weekends is that we're pushing people more and more towards max, right, with this. Because you're going to max eventually after, you know, if you play the game for 2 to 3 years, double XP weekends, and you try, you are going to max.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that to me isn't even the biggest problem. And I know you've explained this several times, and I still get mixed up about it. But I really think you got to find – there has to be a solution to the 200 mil cap. I'm fine with bringing in XP like this, but there has to be some solution.
Yeah, there has to be.
We're going to run into a wall.
It's prestige.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
or siphoning XP away from the pet. I mean, Jagex does have the technology to remove XP from people. And, you know, you get 200 mil in a skill. That might have to be the barrier it's at. 200 mil. Siphon back to zero. You can get some kind of pet, and every time you do that, maybe up to 10 times, which, heaven forbid, I don't think anyone else would get 2 billion XP in a skill. Do you?
Oh, somebody probably would, but not me. I'm sure somebody probably would.
And what you do to do prestige in the 2019, someone hits 200 mil, you siphon them back to zero. They get a pet, and every time you do that, the pet's appearance changes to become more and more royal or more and more adorned with something. And, you know, yeah, people are going to say the high scores need to be changed. But what you do is you have a 200 mil high score. You know, who gets their first 200 mil in each skill? And there is one kind of high score table. So if you're number 578, which is probably, you know, way lower than there actually is today in all the skills. So let's just say you're 5,578 to get 200 mil in one skill. That gets noted down on the 200 mil high score. And then there's another high score that floats and just has the active XPs of everyone in game. That would be the simplest way to allay people's concerns with this. And then you can copy over everybody else who has 200 mil in the various skills right now. And if you have 200 mil right now and you're number 33 to get that, you would be number 33 on this high score for all eternity. And then it actually allows for movement amongst the actual high scores. So I think that would be a good solution to do. That would be one thing that this game needs, because we just had the Comcape rework, which is one end game that Jagex is trying to push. But on the other hand, for people who don't want the Comcape end game, they have nothing. Whereas I think prestige would be a good way of doing it.
Yeah, no, and we need to open it up on the XP side of things. And like, I'm not going to get the technicalities of this right, but this all started with the decimal point, right? Like, can't we just move the decimal point?
No, because you would have tons more data that they were that you would need to store. So, because the way it works is that for an assigned integer, so in computers you can have integers, numbers that are either signed or unsigned. So if a number is signed, it can go below zero, and the default cap for a 32-bit integer, the most common kind, is around 2.1 billion. But Jagex wanted decimals on their XP rate. So in order to save space, because it's a lot easier to store an integer than it is a number with decimals on it in a computer, they just stored everything as a decimal multiplied by a factor of 10, hence why the cap for XP is 200 mil. Because if you have, you know, 199,678,333.4 XP, that 0.4 is stored as a number inside Jagex's databases somewhere. And it's only presented to you as a decimal when it's added onto. And as a result of that, that's why we can't go beyond the 200 mil cap.
Well,
if that makes sense. Did that make sense?
I mean, it does. It's just, I feel like that's the biggest obstacle.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, they could make it so that it uses a larger data type, but that would drastically increase the amount of data that they need to store.
Well, maybe if data becomes cheaper, right?
Well,
like, or the way to store it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. We're a long ways away from that. So I think that's why that hasn't been happening. And, you know, on the double XP weekend side of this, do we want the XP race to become an endgame, the prestige race to become an endgame in-game? Because we have Comp Cape right now.
Well,
and we need more than just comp.
Yes, I think it should be a option to that can be your endgame. You know what I mean? Because like right now, 5.4, I mean, I'm just going to say it's 5.4, that's an end game. I mean, that's an end goal for some people that choose to do that. So, yeah, I think there's... Maybe the answer is this prestige system that you laid out. Maybe it's what they talked about in the first place.
Because where does all the XP go? I mean, that's my concern. And, like, where does it all go?
But remember this too, though. Like, you are in control of your own game, so you only have to participate in what you want to participate in.
Right.
Like, you don't have to participate in this double XP if you don't want to. Like, this time around, I haven't had enough time to save up all the stuff that I'm wanting to save.
Yeah, they just spring it on us rather quickly.
Yeah, and I knew that the next one I would probably be setting out, maybe even the next two, because when I'm coming in competing, I mean, I'm coming in. I'm looking at least 300 mil over that weekend. So this one, I'm gonna just take Junior out and let my alt get some levels and stuff.
That's a good way.
I think that's how you have to look at it. You know, I mean, you have to look at it as like, what do I want out of it? Don't have that FOMO look at it like, oh, I'm missing out. I'm missing out the rates. Well,
you're not missing.
It's up to you. You're not. Yeah. It's up to you whether you see it that way or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's double XP weekend. I don't really have much more to say on that. I did happily wanted to bring up the prestige system yet again because I would love for that to be there in some way, shape, or form. Now, moving on for the rest of the weekly update, of course, starting on July 4th, there is the celebrations for American Independence Day, which you can take part in game, which I don't think they brought back last year, but they had in a couple years ago. Uncle Sam is back with his toy shop. He's going to be just west of the Cook's Guild by Varrock. And during this period, there will also be balloon drops, which will give you interesting rewards, but that are including but not limited to Uncle Sam's hat. So a little cosmetic there for that.
I wouldn't mind getting that hat.
I got it the first time it came around.
See, I don't think I have it. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, he's in game from July 3rd to the 5th, so you can probably find him right now if you want to.
Ooh, all right.
Also, Breaking the Storm, the late phase, did begin on June 29th, and this was the invention and magic phase. And on July 4th, it's the final phase in which we'll be using crafting or divination. And, you know, you can, as we mentioned last week, you can use any of the skills that you previously did in this event. So at the end, this will include farming, woodcutting, construction, smithing, magic, and invention, plus crafting and divination. So that's quite a bit of XP. And it's a really, I find, laid-back activity. And, you know, it just seems like this one's easier than the other currency-based events. And I guess that's because there's a specific place to do it. And there's a boosted first 500 that you get per day. I think I'm at around 15K out of 20K on mine. So.
Oh, well, you just might do it, Shane.
Yeah. And I've just been doing the woodcutting there, which I'll talk more about later. So.
Very nice.
Let's move on to the patch notes. We did have a few of those this week. Starting off, there was a small case where players who had not purchased the max cape but were comped or trimmed and they were not able to benefit from the max cape perks as a passive benefit, and a check has now been added to the comp and trimmed capes to fix this issue. It seems a bit odd, but I mean, there are those cases where you would have had the max and you were comped or trimmed. They also re-added the missing 100 life point bonus if you had the max or comp cape. Which I didn't even know we had a bonus before.
I didn't realize it either.
So that's there. It's weird wearing that cape and seeing the life points be 10,000 rather than 9,900.
Yeah, that's true. So.
The Tokel Zoe ring now opens a teleport selection interface when used from the action bar. That's nice.
Yeah, cool.
This is one ring that you're going to be using if you're doing a lot of mud rune crafting.
Oh, do you use the bank there?
Yeah, you use the bank in the design area.
Okay.
So. You can no longer sell gate stones to the trader inside of Daemonheim 4. News to me. But okay.
I was like, what? How much did he give you for them?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what would happen if you if it says Gatestone, so I assume it wasn't the group Gatestone, but I wonder what would have happened if it was the group Gatestone and you sold it.
Well, nobody's GG anywhere. You're gonna have to walk.
Yeah. Some new equipment can be keepsaked. Including spiked masterwork armor, augmented spiked masterwork armor, augmented limitless staves of air, water, fire, earth, lava, and steam, augmented second age weapons, augmented abyssal bane two-handed longswords and shields, augmented abyssal bane, augmented revenant bane, and augmented blightbound crossbows. And the mining skill cape perk will no longer affect arc crablets, which... they did say it was only for all core rocks, and the idea behind the mining skill cape perk is that it gives you a little bit of extra bonus XP when you mine. So people were taking all advantage right. of that and would have been amplifying that AFK method of mining trading there. So that's a little exploit that's gone. Now, the biggest one, and this is what was the headlining patch note on the news post, was changes to boss instancing. Everyone in a boss instance is now going to be messaged when there's 30, 15, or 5 minutes to go before it ends. There's also now a protection option on the boss instance interface that will allow you to lock the instance to your friends chat only, so only people in your friends chat can join. And anybody who tries to join it will be prompted to join the friends chat that you specified, and upon joining, they'll be forced into turning loot share on. So it's a way of preventing more crashing. During this time, players who join your instance will not be able to turn loot share off or leave your friends chat and must leave your instance if they wish to change those. So it's locking everything together and it's effectively creating a unified experience between friends chat and boss instance, which is something I think they should have had years ago. And it's just nice to see this little quality of life fix come in, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is going to make things a lot easier.
And finally on this, if the player joining your instance is unable to join the friends chat, they will be removed from the instance when they enter. Good. Now, this one was used also in the headlining news post, and this was talking about practice mode improvements, in particular for Telos. If you're in the practice mode when you go to climb down and fight Telos, it will prompt you with a dialogue box to enter any enrage that you like. Have fun trying out the 4K enrage. And, you know, I don't know... And this is the question that came up that we were discussing earlier this week in chat, is that what is the point of this? Because as you level up and as you keep fighting, you're going to be coming from a previous enrage before you get to 4K. So I guess this is just to see how hard you get your teeth kicked in?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really serve any real practice purpose because you want to take Telos on as an entire entity on its own starting at the base level, right?
Yeah, it's just a new measuring stick. Look how long I can go up against Telos 4K.
Yeah, that might be something as well, seeing people post videos of their 4K Telos streaks just starting off with it, right?
Yeah.
So, I have no intent to ever use that one. The chat message which highlights the percent enrage Telos will start with now appears in red as well. So, that's it for the patch notes this week. Not too much there, and makes sense why it was why we discussed it after, and why the patch notes were part of the headlining update.
Yeah, it's the quiet before the storm.
Let's hope it's not a storm.
Well, we're breaking the storm, right? So this is
the quiet before we
break the storm.
True. And you know, this was also mentioned because this is a pretty big deal in terms of. Content for PVM, and that is that they are investigating the issue of dead clicks as they are in relation to the action bar. And as it's been pointed out, this has been an ongoing issue on and off since January. And what they've done is since then they've released a number of script optimizations to help reduce server delay on other scripts in the game that were intensive. And they've noticed that reports seem to slowly die down. But until 2 weeks ago, they released an action bar update. And with this action bar, they've continued to fix any issues that would have arose from this, but they're still seeing players report the so-called dead clicks. And the issue, as it appears, is that it's an issue with the actual client, such that if your frames per second dropped at any point for a slight moment, so something spawns in on the map, say the example given was Telos or Solak, there's a chance that if you're performing multiple actions on your action bar, one of them could miss, thus behaving as if you clicked something else and giving you the dead click. And to address this, they're going to be making some changes in an NXT client update, including the rate at which inputs are processed on the NXT client, and improving how clicks and key presses are handled when the client is running at low FPS. So this is something that people were definitely concerned about, because as it is, and we've talked with David many times in the past about this, when you're PVMing, especially at a high level, everything comes down to muscle memory and counting the ticks in the 0.6 second increments, which I still can't wrap my head around, but I guess you'd get used to it over time. And if you miss an action bar count or an action bar hit, you would definitely feel that and would throw you off your rhythm and cause problems. So they don't have a release date for the fix, and they're going to be doing an NXT warm fix when it's ready to go. So they won't need to reboot the servers, but you will need to reopen and reclose your NXT client. So
that's good. That's definitely a boo-boo. Kind of. This one was kind of important.
Yeah, and I've never seen any of that for me personally. Have you?
No, but I mean, I don't even think it's fair for me to judge, because I don't even know if I would know.
Okay. Yeah, chances are people like you and me aren't clicking enough on the action bar to actually make this become much of an issue. So.
Yeah, that's kind of yeah.
So. Rest assured, for people who are wondering what's going to be happening with this, a fix is on the way. All right. I believe that's it for RS-related news. I don't have anything else to mention this week. As we mentioned, a very quiet week, calm before the storm, breaking the storm. But I think we can move on to our listener question. But first, before we do that, I want to give great thanks to our Patreon supporters, who this week include Arvids L., Brock H., Cass, Darren L., Diana, Kyle, Logan H., So Juice the Devil, Tom V., Zachary K., and Zez. Thank you all of you guys for your wonderful support here supporting the podcast. It truly does mean the world to us. And if you want to see what exactly they're supporting, head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb. And there we are currently at our roundtable tier, where we do our monthly roundtable. That'll be happening at the midpoint this month, so keep an eye out for that. I believe not this weekend, but next weekend, if I looked at the calendar right. I might have to look at the calendar to verify that, but rest assured, time and date will be posted once we have solidified it for this month. We're also doing Inside RSBNB Update, where we gain an inside look at the RSBNB Update crew, including interviews with our hosts and production team, including learning how the podcast comes together, and sometimes you might even see where the hosts record the show. And then, of course, we have our monthly bit, which is our monthly special show. And we just finished one of these today, talking about the hype and anticipation of RuneScape updates. And once again, that was a good one. So if that sounds interesting to you, if you want to hear about how you have updates like the achievement system and Menaphos hyped and then how they falter, well, that's the podcast you want to listen to. You can subscribe to it at patreon.com/rsbnb for as little as $1 a month. You gain access to the entire back catalog of Monthly Bits. You can also subscribe for $3 a month, become a VIP, where you get a special rank on Discord and a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as gain access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show, which, you know, you're going to want for those weeks like we had last week when we showcased The Land Out of Time, and next week when we're going to be showing more Land Out of Time content. Then for $5 a month, you can receive a shout-out on the podcast every week, and you get exclusive access to the clips that we use to form the clip show. So once again, thank you to everybody who has supported us currently and in the past at patreon.com/rsbnb. Thank you very much. All right. You ready for a question?
I'm ready.
So this comes from Tycho, and it's kind of leaning into last week's update, the CompCape rework. He says, the CompCape rework has been released and been splitting the two groups that own this prestigious cape, the PVMers and the Completionists. With this update, the capes from the Fight Kiln become the most powerful cape for the specific style type. However, if we look at the best cape in all styles at the same time, we see that, what a surprise, this is the Max Cape. This cape also has the powerful ability of having three perks from any skill cape at the same time. And let's not forget the bossing portal at the Max Guild, every PVMer's dream. This means that getting all your skills to 99 will be the new norm for high-level bossing. Although the new norm is a huge difference compared to completing the game, do you think it's a reasonable demand to ask someone who's playing for fighting the strong enemies? Also, what perks do you have on your Max Cape and why? You know, I didn't think about this coming into the Comp Cape rework, that it shifts it down to max.
But does it? Because I don't agree with the premise.
You don't need it.
Yeah, I don't see it like that, because the Kiln Capes are the best in slot. That's what the PVMers care about, right? Like, they want best in slot. They're not going to be bothered by a teleport. That's just not.
But they do. I know that when we were doing the teleports, or rather all the elite dungeons, the most convenient banking space was the Max Guild.
Oh, well, of course. Like, he's right when it comes to, like, is that the most.
But you do get all the teleports. But you do get all the teleports on all the different capes now with the passives.
Oh, that's true, too.
I guess the premise is then if you want to get into bossing, people will ask for the Max Cape.
Perhaps. But are the perks enough to not wear a best in slot item?
No, you get the perks on any cape though. If you put on a Kiln Cape, you get your three perks. Those perks are around if you've unlocked them at max, regardless of what cape you're wearing.
So he's confused the crap out of me.
And I'm sorry to the listeners who are listening to this right now for this. And I think the question that is being asked is that people are going to be asking, you know, hey, you never used to have the comp cape. You couldn't come. Now, we just want to see that you have the Max Cape, because it also means you're going to be able to teleport to the Max Guild. You're going to have some kind of cape that's almost best in slot. But at the same time, people can just right-click examine you and see if you're wearing a Kiln Cape. And if you're not wearing a Kiln Cape, they're going to turn you down once again.
Yeah, I don't – and that's the thing. I don't think they are going to care if you are teleporting around with them. I think – when it comes to the PVM, what matters is the best in slot gear.
Yeah.
Is the max the most, is that the new normal for like the average player? Is that what you're shooting for? Probably, but I've always thought that's what you shoot for. Like, I don't know. That's just always been in my head what the end goal was to be maxed, but if you're into PVM, you're gonna do the Kiln. I just don't see any way around that.
Yeah. Let's do a quick look. I have an idea of what the stats are for these. Let's pull up the stats for the Max Cape. Do you know what the Kiln Cape is called? Elder Kiln Cape, I think.
Tokomash? There's a man. There's a...
You see the problem here.
There's three versions of Toko. The M-E-J is the magic one.
Yeah, we know that much.
I don't remember what the other two are.
It's been so long since I wore them, huh? Tokhar Kelhet, or Ket, Tokhar Kelzil, and Tokhar Kelmej. God, I feel like I'm reading.
I had one. One out of three at that.
So, our Max Cape has 44 defense or armor with 5 prayer bonus and 26 of each of the various stats: strength, melee strength, range strength, and magic strength. Whereas our Kiln Cape has 44 and a half armor, so practically nothing more, 2 prayer bonus, and 31.5 melee strength, magic strength, or range strength.
Yeah, so that's significant enough.
Is it significant enough? It's 5. Is that significant?
For a PVMer, 1 is enough. Okay. But 5, for sure. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, you can't give up 5 on every other stat just to gain 3 prayer. You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't make sense. And they don't even care about armor all that much. Because they don't care about that.
Of time.
Yeah,
so exactly. Armor's not a thing.
No.
All right. There's the Abomination Cape as well with 50.8 armor and 21.8 melee strength. Which, I mean, okay. But like you said, most people doing PVM don't care about the armor.
No.
And, you know, I think when it comes down to it, people are going to go for one of the Kiln Capes based on the stats, but also just based on the fact that it's a lot easier to get a Kiln Cape than it is to get a Max Cape.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I think the answer to Tycho's question is no.
That
they're not going to do that. Yeah. But
I don't see it.
I mean, just put yourself in the boat that you just finished all the quests. Are you going to go Max first, or are you going to go get a Kiln Cape first? I think the answer is obvious. Kiln Cape, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay, what perks do we use on our Max Cape?
Oh, it depends on what I'm doing.
Okay. But, you have enough to change them around for the 99K each time you feed a Skill Cape to it?
Yeah, I'll just go buy one if I need to. I'll just go up to that lady at the Max Guild.
Okay.
Get an extra cape and feed it. If I'm doing a lot of, like, if I'm doing a lot of divination, then I always keep the divination perk on. Yep. I tend to always have the defense, the one that has the sign.
All right, because that stacks with regular signs, right?
Yeah. So I always keep that one on. I used to do the cooking, like if I was cooking.
So you don't burn anything.
Right. But then I got rid of that once I started using the gloves again. Because I thought the gloves didn't count as a set item, but they actually do.
Yeah, they do.
So the cooking gauntlets, yeah. So I switched that one out and started doing the...
Tremendous change, by the way, whenever they brought that in.
Yes, it was. Yes. I can't remember. I don't remember why I have the invention on it now. I don't even need it now. I'm 200. I need to take it off, actually. It's a good to remind me.
Is it the master invention one or the regular invention one? Because they have different perks, remember?
Oh. No, I didn't remember, but probably...
The invention cape provides a 2% charge drain reduction. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's what I was using it for.
Okay, now let's see what the Master Invention Cape one is. I don't remember that one. Master Invention Cape, its perk is that it does the same thing as the base cape, but it also gains a new perk that increases the chance of receiving uncommon and rare components when disassembling by 20%.
Okay. A little something then.
Yeah.
And the other one that I do change out from time to time, though, and perhaps arguably my favorite, is the Slayer, the 120 Slayer, where you can pick once in a while.
Oh, the task?
Yeah. That okay. one's really good.
Okay. As for me, of course, as you can probably imagine, the farming skill cape perk that occasionally notes all my items for me. That's very nice when I'm, farming. I, of course, haven't changed it out, and I don't even know if Divine Charges are still worth gathering. I need to look at the market on that because they crashed horribly.
They were going up after that, though. I heard last week they were going way back up.
Okay. But yeah, I had the Divination Cape perk on there. And that's all I had on there because when I got Max, I was under the impression that the Max Cape only got two perks. So I only put two on it.
Nope. Need to get you something else there, Shane.
Yeah. Hmm. It would be interesting to see what the new Hunter Cape perk is next week.
That's true. It's supposed to help lay traps down automatically, isn't it?
I think so. I don't remember exactly what it is. Mining, maybe? No. You know what I'll do? I'll probably just put the defense one on it.
Yeah, that's what I do, just because you have it there, you forget about it, and if it goes off, it means it saved your life.
Bad stuff's happening.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
but that stupid little perk can actually help, like in certain situations that you just don't even think about.
Yeah,
and
it's the same thing with signs in general. Is I find it really hard to know when a sign ticks off.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, there's my perks. I'm gonna add the defense one to it after we finish recording the show.
There you go.
Thank you, Tycho. If you guys want to send your own questions in, email questions@rsbnb.com or send them in on Twitter @rsbnbdm or @mention to us, and we'll definitely be doing a lot of these come next week. So, the land out of time. All right, so moving on to tech news. This one's a bit of a head scratcher, and it's just downright sad that we're actually seeing something like this. Some third-party developers have actually told their customers to pirate their games instead of using G2A. Now, G2A is a website where you can go and you can buy game keys. Kind of shady in the past, and game developers don't necessarily like them. Have you ever bought anything from G2A?
Oh, no. I'm afraid, because there's a lot of stolen credit card stuff with that in there. Like, that's how they get all these keys, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I
don't
trust it,
that.
So I never used it.
So, an independent publisher by the name of Mike Rose noted that when he searched for his games, ads that were showcased from the G2A website were placed higher on Google than the game publisher's own link. And he says, yeah, we make zero money if people buy them through these ads. And he recommended that instead that people who are considering buying a game through GTA just pirate it instead. And that's something that you don't necessarily hear all that often, is it? And, you search for some games and the first link you see is G2A appearing, and that's because they bought the ads for that. And you're not helping the developers when you do that. So you also don't get the customer support if you wind up with a fake or a key that has been pirated. And, this is raising a big question in the gaming industry as to, what is the response to something like this from people like Steam. How do you correct against G2A? Because the only ones who wind up hurt about this at the end of the day are developers. And, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where your game is appearing on G2A and you're missing out on revenue. And for a lot of indie developers who rely solely on Steam and rely on every single Steam sale who might have a game that's worth $20 out there, they're missing out on that hunk of change. So, I mean, Google can't just delist G2A. Steam can't do anything from it on their end. So I think the only action on this is some kind of a lawsuit, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps. It seems like they should be able to get it from all the fraudulent, like, purchases, right? Like, because I've always heard that a lot of the keys that are sold on GTA, there are like, they've been scammed anyway. Like, they got a hold of someone's credit card and then bought a bunch of keys that are selling them.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I've always heard it. So couldn't you go after them for, I don't know, like, essentially, aren't they a fence? Like, they're selling stolen property?
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I just Googled for Descenders, the game that was showcased, and I didn't see a sponsored ad towards G2A. So I don't know if that just wasn't in my area. And the first thing that came up, of course, was Steam, with the Steam summer sale 30% off currently. So that's what you would expect in that situation. But, you know, one of this developer for his game, Descenders, he said in the latest episode of F*** G2A, G2A has taken sponsored ads out. No, and I added the stars there for emphasis. He actually said the full word. G2A has taken out sponsored ad on Google, which means that when you search for the game, you get G2A popping up above our own links. So it's an issue that needs to be fixed. And, I mean, looking at my Googling right now, it appears as though I'm not having that problem. So that's good from my end. But, of course, what you see isn't necessarily going to be the same thing that I just saw. So please do keep an eye out on that if you're ever searching for a game. Always, of course, best to buy it from a reputable marketplace like the Steam store, if it's on Xbox, the Microsoft store. I think that's just something we can all do as a courtesy to the game developers out there. So
yeah, for sure.
All right. So normally we talk about privacy and Facebook, but we're actually going to talk about privacy and Amazon Alexa this week.
Which is even scarier than Facebook when you think about it.
Because it's like in your home.
It's in your home. It is listening to all the stuff that you thought no one heard.
So U.S. Senator Chris Coons from Delaware sent a letter to Jeff Bezos asking about voice recordings on Alexa and transcripts, and quite frankly got more than he bargained for. He got the letter back on June 28th, and Amazon says that they keep transcripts and voice recordings indefinitely, and they're only removed if manually requested to be removed by the user. And they also said Amazon has an ongoing effort to ensure those transcripts do not remain in any of Alexa's other storage systems, but there are still records from some conversations with Alexa that Amazon won't delete, even if people remove the audio the letter revealed. And, you know, this is something that's becoming, I think, more and more of an issue going forward as people get these smart devices. So it's very concerning on this front. And they also said that let me read this other paragraph because this one's also important. Alexa requests that involve a transaction like ordering a pizza or a rideshare, Amazon and the skills developers can keep a record of that transactions indefinitely. So this means that there's a record of nearly every purchase you make on Alexa, which should be considered personal information.
Yeah, there's so many things wrong with this. One, I mean, we are all the products now. They're just selling us left and right for our data.
It's kind of like if you go back to Minority Report and you – I don't know. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
No, where the guy's walking around and he's just getting advertised everything that he sees on the individual advertisements because they know everything about him. And, you know, Amazon is becoming that company.
Yeah. And also, even if you trust Amazon, how much – I mean, we have seen so many security breaches that no one is invulnerable to it. And think about that. They have your conversations that you – thought was confidential, even if they wouldn't do it for have any ill intent, someone else might. And like I said, we've seen that criminals can pretty much get into wherever they want to get into.
Yeah.
If they're determined. So the whole thing is kind of scary, right?
Yeah. Other requests, including reminders and alarms also remain saved, and they said this is a feature that customers wanted.
I guess I get that. I just worry about like that story we covered where the people were talking about flooring. Like they didn't even know. You know what I mean? Like, what if that was a different kind of conversation? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, or the one where it started rattling off the names of funeral parlors.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is going to make me a lot choosier with what I'm using my device for and when I have it plugged in and when I don't.
You know, it'd be a nice time to see some transparency on this from Google as well for the Google Homes, I think.
Yeah.
Because we know what Amazon's doing. Apple claims to be the privacy moments focused ones with HomePod, but I mean, HomePod is so much more expensive than the Amazon and Google offerings that you're only going to get a Siri-based HomePod if you're an Apple user. And even then, I mean, who wants to use Siri over Google's assistant or Alexa, right?
Siri doesn't compare. I mean, and I'm an Apple user, but she doesn't compare.
Yeah. Now, continuing on with this, Amazon's response leaves open the possibility that transcripts of user voice interactions with Alexa are not deleted from all Amazon servers, even after a user has deleted a recording of his or her voice. That's what Kuhn said. And what's more, the extent to which this data is shared with third parties and how those third parties use and control that data is still unclear. And what that means is that it is entirely possible that if there was a third-party developer out there who put out a new skill for Alexa, as I believe they're called, could store this data, harvest this data, and use it for whatever they see fit. And they're covered based on the agreement that you sign with Amazon when you open that piece of software and apparently read that end-user license agreement.
But, I mean, Facebook would have the same argument, right? And hasn't protected them all the time.
So. Of course.
At some point, people will, I think, I hope people begin to realize that they are the commodity and there's a value in what we are doing and we should be the keepers of our data and we should be the ones that are paid for that, not some other company.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this is a classic thing about why if you ever want to start up your own writing platform or your own blog or your own website to write on, you don't post those as notes on Facebook. You don't post them on Medium and you don't post them on WordPress.com. You get a cheap virtual private server and run your own instance of WordPress and host it on your own site and keep backups of it so that the content you have is content that you own.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one surefire way to do it. And, you know, just looking at Amazon here, it's a classic case, I hate to say it, of convenience over privacy.
Yes, 100%.
So,
and I guess we're all probably guilty to one extent or another. I mean, like I said, I use mine a lot less than I used to, probably because we cover so much tech news on the show. But I do still use it, you know, from time to time.
Yeah.
Like I'll get my little news briefs or whatever, but.
I mean, if you're just and see, the thing is, you could say that if I'm just using this to control the lights in my room, that's okay. But there's a chance it's listening to everything else, too. It's like the case also where they had those else. Recordings or those notes that people didn't intend on saving about the flooring conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. And if they're not being forthcoming with this, then, I mean, I think it's very hard to trust that it's not listening to you. Because, I mean, that's what it does. It's supposed to.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
I don't know. I think the answer is just unplugged.
It's listening
them.
To something if it's looking for the words, right? Like, it's always listening for that one word to be said. So, it's listening.
C'est la vie, as they say, right?
I didn't know you spoke French, Shane.
Of course, a little bit here and there.
Oh, that's right. It's a Canadian thing again.
Yeah. Moving on to our last piece of tech news, Microsoft released a very weird and confusing video showcasing something called Windows 1.0. Except Windows 1.0 came out in 1985. And not only was it this video, but all of Microsoft's social media and branding accounts now use the logo of Windows 1.0 from 1985. They even put out a tweet introducing the all-new Windows 1.0 with MS-DOS executive clock and more from the Windows Twitter account.
I was trying to think, like, is this an anniversary or something? But no, I can't think of anything.
No, and my theory on this, this could be wrong, is that they're aiming to do some kind of major rebrand of Windows where it moves from just Windows 10 to just being Windows. And they're effectively relaunching Windows. Because they remember when the Windows 10 came out, they said this is going to be the last version of Windows.
Yeah, and I mean, that'd be fine. Well, then look, removed a decimal point, you got Windows 10. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Little aside there. But, I mean, I think that's fine as long as we don't find ourselves in like a Windows 8 situation. Because we won't have any other versions to fall back on.
There was another video tweeted 11 hours ago. Be part of the computing revolution and get your copy of Windows 1.0 today. With some old Microsoft branding and 80s retro style graphics on it. There was also a quiz running Windows 1.0 in 1985 required at least how much memory. Okay. Another one with Excel, Chart, and even Flight Simulator. There's no telling where Microsoft and the power of Windows will take you this summer. And a picture of the 1985 Microsoft software, including, Word, Excel, Chart, and Flight Simulator, of all things. So they're on some kind of retro kick for this, and I don't know why, except for my potential theory that I outlined there.
Well, that's as good as any, because I don't have a clue.
I mean, it's not an anniversary, because it was released in November 20th, 1985. So it's not in July.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
It's also worth noting that the video they posted had a run back of all the previous Windows logos, starting with 10 and working their way backwards.
I'm clueless. I don't know. We'll see.
Some publicity stunt, maybe? But why would Microsoft need that?
Yeah. Well, when's the last time we talked about Microsoft?
We're doing that right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
And, you know,
and that's not even the Windows I remember. I mean, the big Windows I remember was Windows 95. That was like the
That's when it
that
changed.
Was like the big one. You know,
3.1 was also interesting. And if you look at some of the pictures of what 1.0 looked like, there wasn't even Windows that you could move around. Windows were just tiled all together, and there was an actual, picture representation of a clock. So,
Yeah, I want to say I remember that because I want to say it was 87. We were like one of the first classes to be able to take home PCs.
Take home?
Yes.
They let people do that back then?
For a year, for the school year.
Holy.
It was an experiment.
Okay.
And yeah, so we got to take them home, and they were very, very rudimentary. Like,
surprising you could do, like,
it had
Mac.
A typing thing, and it had some math on it. Oh, gosh, I want to say it had this maze game, but it was done through some kind of, like, pre-internet, like, Prodigy? Is that ring a bell, Shane?
Yeah, that was a way of...
That's what it was.
And I mean, that was a way of connecting computers, but, you know, we didn't have the true World Wide Web where you could have websites
yeah.
until the mid-90s, so it obviously wasn't that.
No. And then we'd turn them in at the end of the year.
And I mean, you compare these screenshots to what Windows is today. Yeah, you can see the improvement, but I don't know. I'll have to wait and see on this, I guess. I think it's could be potentially pointing to some kind of rebrand of Windows 10 as just Windows. That's my leading guess on this. But we also did have the Build Microsoft conference earlier this year. So you think we would have, you know, heard some kind of rumblings of that, right?
Yeah. Who knows?
Anyways, they want you to do great things with Windows, but as we're doing this on a Mac right now, we can just move on. You're on Windows. I'm on a Mac. I'll point everybody to our Informer Roundup for this month. It's called Building Hype for the Land Out of Time, talking about all the Informer articles that we put forth last month, including why the Land Out of Time is not called Fossil Island. We'll see if that's confirmed when we actually get there. Also, the weapon diversity beta hype, which, I mean, I think that's going to be something we're going to hear more about in July as well. Sirion's article on world building and your yearly look at the Steam Summer Sale in sizzling deals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Alex also wrote about cannons because cannons came out back in 2003, and he's always been a fan of cannons. So I thought, okay, maybe let's have a look at what cannons were like going back and where they're at today. So it's an article on RuneScape cannons, of all things.
I enjoyed that, though, because always says, cheers, cannoneers.
Yeah,
I was like, ah!
So that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get the whole history there of how the cannonball was and how it was initially one bar per cannonball in Classic, and that changed to 4 in RS2. And you have some pictures of his RuneScape Classic experience setting up a ton of cannons. So,
could you believe 1 bar per ball?
Yeah, that would actually cause the steel bars to spike. So,
yeah.
Now, as I mentioned last week, we are also going to be doing some skills of the month for the Land Out of Time, and we do have 2 this month. We're going to be doing our Hunter skill of the month, running from July 10th to July 17th, and an Agility skill of the month, running from July 17th to July 24th. So you can sign up for all of these. Just head on over to rsbnb.com/skotm, enter in your RuneScape display name, and we'll see who gets the most XP in 1 week in these competitions. Should be interesting to see what the new hunter rates are like, I think, with this one. So we're going to do that one first.
Yep.
Once the Land Out of Time arrives. And just a minor caveat, just in case there's any major bugs with the hunter rework next week, we will delay the competition if need be. But I don't foresee that happening. But just a caveat that if anything happens with the hunter XP rates and it's not able to be fixed until the following week, it'll just be pushed back a week. But we shouldn't have to do that. And agility, well, I mean, we're supposed to have that entire Round the Island agility course. We'll see what kind of XP that gives, or if people revert back to their own old methods of doing that. So if you're interested in competing in either of these, just head over to rsbnb.com/skotm for a skill of the month. All right. Let's go through some achievements, shall we?
All right.
Starting off on July 2nd, we have Omega with 120 Prayer. Also on the 2nd, we have Juan S. with 99 Hunter. Jesse Pinkman with 120 Invention. Doc Hawk with 99 Slayer on July 1st. Murovec with 99 Runecrafting on the 30th. And our own Lord Earth, or Reed, with 99 Magic on June 30th.
Ooh, nice. Well, we also have Parnassius with 120 Construction on June 29th. Real Zen, 99 Prayer on June 29th. Roku with 99 Mining on the 29th. Roku again with 99 Agility on June 28th. And Moondragon X with 99 Slayer on the 28th.
Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done.
Good job. We need like some sounds, Shane, to be like, woo, and some clapping in the background.
That might be interesting. Yeah. And I could look into that for other ones, and especially the 120s or maybe 200s even might be worth bringing something in like that. But I think we could talk about my pick of the week right now. You know, normally on iOS or any kind of mobile game, you do want to have an in-depth experience in terms of how your game operates and looks. But there's this other kind of game out there, the simple kind of game that, you know, you might just decide to take on instead. And the one that I'm going to be using for Pick of the Week this week is a game that I picked up that's completely free. It's called Ping Pong King. And it's a ping pong game. It's not only a ping pong game, but a 2D ping pong game in that you view the table from top down, and there's only two buttons on it, left and right, and you just need to press left or right based on how fast your opponent, a computer opponent, is going to be whacking that ball backwards and forwards to you. So you just press left or right on either side of the screen, and you face various opponents along the way. And, you know, you would normally think that this would be a very, simple game to take on. But it's actually quite difficult and quite engaging, despite the fact that it's made purely with line art, and it's 100% top down. And the best part about it is that it's 100% free with ads. So you can pay to get rid of the ads if you want, but they're really not that intrusive. They only play at the end of a level. And I'm just, as I normally do when I do these pick of the week, showcasing them. And it's difficult enough that if I'm not giving it my 100% attention, it's easy enough to mess up and miss the level on this. And it, you know, just like a standard ping pong game, you go to a score of 3, and if you win, you move on to the next level. Otherwise, you have to keep redoing it until you win. And there's numerous different levels that you need to play through on this. So it provides a good deal of time that you can just sink away in this game. But, you know, I always like showcasing games that are different because this one is top down and it's also made with line art, which isn't something you see today. So, Ping Pong King available on both iOS and Android. And for what it's worth, it's actually got a 4.8 out of 5 review on the App Store. So
sounds like it's one of those easy to pick up, hard to master games.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, that tends to be the general theme with most of my picks of the week, is that they're easy to pick up in terms of what you think you want to do with them. But if you actually want to become really good at it, you need to invest some time into it. So available on both iOS and Android.
Nice.
And I'd recommend removing the ads if you enjoy the game, because they appear at the end of every level. So it's better to just, you know, continue on than having to wait 20 seconds for the ad. So, all right. What have you been up to on RS?
Well, I had been pretty quiet. I'd been messing around just pretty minimally until Double XP was announced. And then, just been doing a little bit, getting Junior prepared for that. I might get drug into some dungeoneering, but that remains to be seen if I can do that or not.
Swell.
But that's really about it. Like, I just was doing very minimal, just kind of preparing for DXP, just watching the market, seeing how, when to strike, like, so to say.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
How about yourself?
Well, boy, has it been an interesting, few days on RS. And no, it's not because I, you know, went to some boss and became a PVM expert overnight. It's because, you know, last week when the update hit and we got Breaking the Storm, we also got the Sentinel woodcutting outfit. And pretty much since that update hit, anytime I've been online, I was at that event just woodcutting. And prior to that, I had 6 of the 15 pieces needed. So for about 6 days, I think, after the event landed, I was just woodcutting there, and I got enough of the Sentinel fragments to complete that set. So I completed the remaining 9 pieces that I was missing. So that's nice. And, you know, you can't underestimate how important it is to have these elite skilling outfits come into game by way of a playable method so that you don't need to spend Vic points on them. It's really, really nice. I cannot understate that, how much I enjoyed doing that. And that, combined with the boat event, made this currency event and this world-building event really not feel as stressful as some of the other ones in the past, I think, because I was doing it for a reason. So, and as
that always helps.
And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm at about 15,000 out of 20,000 points. So with a few days left, I should complete that. If not, we'll just top it off with a few rune coins, because I'll definitely complete this one. But there was that. But also, this past weekend, the 28th of June, after we recorded the show last week, marked the 15th anniversary of me having members on RuneScape.
Oh, did you get your 15-year cape?
No. I had the 15-year cape from this when that came out. I created my cape before February 2002 when members was the thing. I had my account before then. I just didn't start playing as a member until June of 2004.
Oh,
and
okay.
I've been on that grandfathered in $5 a month plan ever since. So that's one milestone that happened. Another milestone was Earth's 99 Magic this past weekend. And as it turns out, he's picked up the game again. And
nice.
We got a bunch of people together. And it's like, oh, what can we do in RS that's group aside from bossing? Because, you know, people coming back to the game don't have, you know, the tier 90 armor that you would need
to
go do the Elite Dungeons or go do the Kalphite King, that kind of thing. So the only real group content that we could think of was Dungeoneering. And I got roped into some Dungeoneering despite my better judgment. Yeah.
I got him.
Yeah. I will say that I still very much do not enjoy Dungeoneering. But the fact when you're doing it with people that you know, I think kind of softens the blow a bit.
It makes it so much funner because you're joking around and laughing, and it when it's good, it's really good. It's just not something I would prefer to do anymore.
Yeah. Noted. Because I did ask you if you wanted to join.
You did, and I might, but I didn't want to drag the group down because I thought I would have to low of a level. I'm only 68.
Oh no, we're fine on that front. But you know, you need to do the stupid achievements and the task set in order to unlock more binds. So I am going for the medium achievements so I can bind a potion.
Oh, those bites. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, the dungeon.
Yeah. Yeah, you do need the potions, really super helpful. But if you make it that far, Shane, You can might as well finish it off with the hard.
See, the problem is the sagas.
But those are quests, dude. They're right
I know, I know, I know. But I don't get.
And they're actually fun. They're like, they're unique.
Because you can control people in there, but it's not you, and you're not, you know, you can't, you don't have your high end armor and weapons and whatnot.
You don't need it. Like, it's quick, Shane. Like, it's really quick. They're not bad. Like, I was really hesitant about them too, but seriously, the sagas were the easiest part of all of the task sets.
Oh, really?
Like, seriously, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll get your, you know, I mean, then your aura, you can pick your boss, and that's really super helpful.
You know, I also think that the issue as to why I never did the sagas in the beginning was that you need to find the little drop in the dungeons in order to unlock them, and I only had unlocked the first one, so I got to go through all those different floors to find the rest, because for the hard ones, of course, eventually, you didn't need to complete all the sagas, and I mean,
I think they made that easier, though, didn't they?
Yeah, I recall a patch note at some point about that. You just probably need to go to the right floor
and, yeah, I think so,
and find it, if I recall. Because the first one, Three's Company, is floors 1 to 11. Vengeance is 12 to 17. Nadir, 18 to 22. Thakatuam, 30 to 35. And Thak Your Block Off is 36 to 40. So,
those are just fun.
In the later ones, are they all as fragile as Ariane was and whatnot?
Oh, no.
Okay. Because I accidentally sent Ariane to her death once.
Yeah, I didn't think these guys were all that fragile.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see where that goes, but I don't know. I don't like being funneled in to do a certain task, and to me, the rewards from the dungeoneering task set with the aura just really didn't stand out that much, so I never did them.
And I just did mean, it's only they're important when you're on a dungeoneering grind, you know. Like, but if you're not doing that, then they're not essential. If you're just going with people just to help out a group or just to go have fun,
yeah,
not as big of a deal. But if you're on your grind, you really need to have them.
Yeah, but I think having the potion is a good thing, right?
Oh well, your potion's really important. I mean, like even solo war group, because you need a couple members to have different.
Yeah,
you know, you need someone with an artisan, someone with the gatherers, and that usually helps. I don't remember what my potion is that's bound, but I always carry the lock melters with me just in case, because
We had Alex with us, and he brought a bunch of those as well. But, yeah, aside from that, don't expect me to become a common dungeoneer. No.
Well, I might have to ride with you here and there. I need to get Junior to 75 for Prith, but I had been doing it through sinkholes because I thought Shane is 99, so I didn't want to like force everyone into like a level 30.
Well, we just reset yesterday.
You know, so. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we only have two people in the group who are maxed, who we've been doing it with, so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said I would never do another floor with my main, and I damn well intend to keep that promise, because I hit 120 and got the pet drop with my last floor. I will never walk in there with my main.
Ay. Well, I believe that's pretty much it for this episode of RSBNB Update, and this is a episode in which Shane goes dungeoneering, so we'll have to wait and see if that happens again, but I don't believe I have anything else to bring up. We'll be back next week for Land Out of Time with all the coverage that you normally expect from us during a headlining piece of content, so we'll see you next week, everybody, and remember, if you want to join us in-game, we're at Friends Chats Bits Bytes. Take care and have a great 4th of July weekend to all the Americans listening. Bye-bye, everyone.
See ya.